And I just hit like 10% warning on my phone. So I was like, oh, perfect time to wrap up because it's about to die.
I didn't set a timer, but I'm pretty sure this is our longest episode yet.
I think so.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Heading to WP podcast. I think this is the second one of the year, episode 7 overall. My name is Marcus Burnett, and with me as always, or back from break, thankfully, is TJ Rogers. How you doing, TJ?
Hey, I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Good. I am happy to have you back. If you missed the episode last week, it was just me, and I felt very lonely, so I am glad that you are back with me recording this week.
Yeah. COVID is not going to keep me down forever.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're feeling well and everything too. So, I guess to get started, if you listened to last week's episode, I talked a little bit about changing up the format of the show a bit. And so I think we're going to try that out. We're going to go with some housekeeping up front here, just us chatting some, then we'll get into our main topic, which if you looked at the title of the show, you'll probably know is about the, agency process for designing and developing websites. So we will get to that in the middle, and then we'll round out the show at the end with just taking a look forward and seeing what our weeks look like. So let's talk a little bit housekeeping. It's been a couple of weeks, and I recorded last week by myself, but I definitely want to hear a little bit more about what you did, TJ. What did you do over the break? I guess it's been 3 weeks or so since we recorded together.
Yeah, break. It felt like it was a little longer than most breaks are, which is a blessing and a curse. Some of it felt a little longer because I was quarantined for a big chunk of it. Ended up getting COVID the week before Christmas, and that put me out for a little bit. But it was also nice to kind of just be away and kind of recharge. Even though part of the recharge time was not fun, it was pretty good to kind of just get away because, you know, normally you think of the end of the year as winding down, assessing how the year went. But oftentimes it can also be more of ramping up and planning for next year already. And so I feel like a lot of us can jump the gun, whether it be resolutions, work goals, personal goals, fitness goals, life goals, familial goals, and making sure you're getting in touch with your family around that time like you normally do. That wasn't happening for me. And so some of the other stresses that normally come with the end of the year / holiday season, I was away from because I had been quarantining and not feeling 100%. And so It was very restful and relaxing. And I am hesitant to say that because I love, you've known me for decades and I love being around people, but it was kind of nice to just have some silence and quiet and now some alone time.
Our lives have really become so fast paced that I think every now and then it is good to just be able to sort of hit pause and kind of chill and do nothing. And you do like being around people, but you're, I don't know. I would classify you as introvert, extrovert, a little bit of both, depending on the situation. Yeah. So I can see how just being able to spend some time, not forever, but some time away to just sort of relax and reset and re-energize mentally and physically and all of that was probably a good thing. I had a little bit of that, and I'm very thankful for that. I basically was able to take about the last 2 weeks or so of the year off, and I spent very little bit of that time on a computer or on my phone, at least for work things. I did check in a little bit on my phone here and there, but for the most part, I kind of was able to check out and just sort of relax and reset, spend some time with family and, you know, be recharged for, you know, 2022 coming into it. You sort of touched on it a little bit, but, and I don't think I put this in the notes, but do you have any New Year's resolutions or goals or anything that you set for yourself?
Yeah, there are a handful that I have. There are some that I am wanting to continue that I feel like I've had pretty good discipline in keeping some of these habits either getting started or continuing, and having some of those commitments just keep going. One that I started when we moved into the offices that we are in currently with Progressive Dental was hitting the gym and working out. And so there is a gym downstairs and quite a bit of workout equipment. And so I've been very lucky and blessed that that is there, because that takes away a lot of the barrier. Mm-hmm. You know, when you listen to some people who talk about either life change or building better habits, a lot of way that they like to do that is to take away some of those barriers that, or easy excuses that we can come up with our mind. And so, you know, some people will either lay out their clothes, their gym clothes, to be ready so that there's not that rush to kind of get it ready, or to go ahead and say, oh, I don't have my clothes ready, maybe I'll do this later or whatever. And so having the gym downstairs and having to walk by it on my way out, I have to be very conscious of, I'm not going to work out. And it was tough at the beginning, but like other habits that we don't even realize that we built or understand that it took the same process to build these habits. Sometimes those things we had to think about a lot. You know, when we're children, we have to think about trying to stand up, think about trying to learn how to walk. Those are very unconscious things now. And so for me, not going to the gym, I have to tell myself not to. It feels like it's very ingrained in part of my day. And so I'm very thankful for that.
You're making a very intentional choice to not go to the gym if you have to walk by it on the way out.
Yes. And so it's gotten easier for me to say yes to the gym. And now it's like brushing my teeth or eating, where it's not as easily missed. Like I sometimes kind of bizarrely miss it if I don't get it in. And so that has been very surprising, because most of my life, especially with working out and health stuff, I've almost needed somebody to be accountable to, mm-hmm. or to be held accountable by. And it's easy for me to have external motivations. And so that's another one that I want to work on outside of health and working out, is having internal motivation, as opposed to having a lot of my motivations come externally or from outward sources, because I'm very much of a people pleaser, but trying to switch that in my mind so that my motivations, one, are correct, and it's easier to keep that up for myself in the long run. And so journaling has helped too. That's one that I continuously go back and forth on. And it's so funny, because I think that sometimes we can trick ourselves into letting ourselves out of doing things that we kind of need to do the most. Mm-hmm. And so me not making time to either journal or give my brain or my mindset or my spirit and emotions those same sort of routines and habits of getting those healthy as with my body. Sometimes when you want to do it the least, it's actually the time you need to do it the most. And so I'm thankful that I started that back up again around break. Again, I was by myself a lot, so it was a little bit easier to kind of start jotting down some of my thoughts or emotions, or just checking in with myself or catching up on whatever happened throughout the day and taking inventory on that sort of thing. And so those are two big ones, mental and physical health, getting that stuff straightened out. And I feel like a lot of other areas of your life can begin to pick up then. And so I also want to try to pick up the habit of habit stacking and adding one or two things. Again, there's a lot of times, especially with the beginning of the year, that I speak for myself, is that I can build these lofty goals and I can get overwhelmed by them or easily anxious about what that means. And so starting to take things one step at a time or one change at a time can help build more lasting effects to some of these habits as opposed to burning myself out with a big, massive action and doing more, as James Clear talked about in his book, Atomic Habits, is building these small building blocks of change and doing a 2%, 3% change that builds over time. The same way that, you know, some of these things that are bad habits will go the other way. Mm-hmm. Again, we have this mindset of if we want something good to happen, it's all about intensity, when really it's about consistency and just small little things, because that's how it works in reverse, but we just don't think about it. So again, just starting to be aware is a massive step in the right direction.
Yeah, I did something similar. I wrote a blog post on my personal blog earlier, you know, second or third day of the year or whatever. It was just five habits that I wanted to form this year. And I kept the bar extremely low. Like, if you read through the habits, you're like, how is this not taken care of in 5 minutes? But that's the point. The point is that I should be able to do that 5 minutes a day, every day for the entire year. And of course, as I start to do some of those things, some of it's like reading and stuff, right? There's no way I'm going to open a book and read one sentence and then put the book down. So if I'm, maybe I will a few days because I just want to, you know, check that box and be like, I did this habit or whatever. But in doing that every single day, I'll eventually be like, well, I've already got the book open, why don't I read the page, you know, or whatever. And then as time goes on, I'm like, oh, I'm really enjoying this. Let me read a few pages. Let me read a chapter. Eventually, you know, that's kind of just a minor example, but they're all that way. All five of the habits, I was like, this is the bare minimum. And if I just do that, like you were talking about the 2%, it might not even be two. It's like half a percent change. But if I just keep doing those things day in and day out, then I'll build these habits that I can build upon and, you know, start to do more and more with these. So I wrote that. Those are kind of some other things. And then sort of the bigger, I don't know if it's really a goal or a resolution or whatever, but I've decided to just drink water every day.
Ooh.
and just water. So a couple of years ago, you know, I gave up soda, and while that probably doesn't seem difficult for a lot of people, it probably also seems like it is difficult for other people like myself.
Right.
Definitely. That's an addiction, especially the caffeine. I would drink a lot of Mountain Dew, a lot of, you know, Pepsi and Coke and stuff, things with caffeine. I really enjoy that. And that's fine, but it's not doing me any favors in terms of health, both just body weight and, you know, teeth and everything else, right? It's all really bad for you, the sugar and the acids and stuff. So I gave up soda, and okay, I sort of ended up replacing it with sweet tea lemonade.
That was my issue for a long time. Yes, I know so exactly what that's like.
I gave up one vice for another that has almost the same nutritional value, and thought that I was doing something, you know. I mean, it was impressive enough for me to give up soda, because that was a tough one.
Yes.
But I gave it up for something else that was also very, you know, comforting and provided almost no nutritional value. So decided to try and do something a little bit different, try not to replace one vice with another. And I'm only 2 weeks in, so nothing to get, you know, rewarded for or anything at this point, but trying to see if I can go the year without anything to drink except for water, not sips of anything else. The one thing I've allowed myself to do is to add lemons, just straight lemons, not lemon juice or lemon packet, mm-hmm, or lemon flavoring or any of that. Just buy a lemon, squeeze some into the water, because okay, I didn't give up fruit, so I can still squeeze a fruit into the water, yeah, if I want to. And that's giving it a little bit of taste or whatever, but trying to just stick to the water. So no sugar and all that stuff. It was not difficult for the first week, because I was like, whatever, I had lots of soda and tea and all that stuff just a week ago. And then the last few days, it's been a little bit harder, and I've had to be like, nope, this is what you're sticking to. Mm. And my hope, more so, I think, than just being like this dietary thing that helps me feel better and lose weight and all of that stuff, because it's really more of a like willpower exercise, is can I continue this as long as possible like just a willpower exercise. And I'm hoping that the longer I go, the less likely I'll be to want to break that streak, break that cycle. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if I make it through all of 2022 with, just drinking water. It's not going to be easy, I don't think. It'll be easier at times than other times, but we'll see how it goes.
That's amazing, man. I'm proud of you. It is difficult.
It's 2 weeks. We're on episode 7. When we're on episode 27 and I'm still just drinking water, then you can say that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. We'll see. I'll hold you to that.
Yes. Keep me accountable. Moving away from that real quick, still in the housekeeping, just sort of talking a little bit about anything that's gone on with work this week, anything interesting for me. I did a meetup, GoDaddy Pro meetup yesterday, talking about nice. Some of GoDaddy's managed WooCommerce native features. And that was pretty fun. Is there anything that stood out this past week for you at Progressive Dental?
Nothing comes to mind as a big standout out of the ordinary. I started working this morning on a new website that we're launching for a doctor. And so compiling a lot of assets, getting those together, making sure we have all the content we need, and starting to build out some of that stuff in WordPress and switching out some of the imagery and stock content that we have on the page for content that we've written and or imagery and graphics that we've picked up from the client's current website. This one will be a little tricky because we are slated to do a photo and video shoot for this particular doctor in practice, but not until March. So we'll have a lot of content in. Today I spent a lot of time picking color palette and getting a couple textures and feel from imagery that they have from their office. And actually, in particular, this one was a little bit tougher to find. They didn't have a lot of facility images on their current website, and I had to do a little bit of detective work and go to their Facebook page to find a picture of the doctor standing in the practice with something that had some ideas that I could take from for the patterns that I would probably use and colors in some of the sort of full width sections that we'll have more than just sort of different pops of color on. And we'll take an inspiration from that. The website that I just finished working on yesterday before getting this ramped up was a little bit easier. They had a lot of sort of, it felt Asian inspired stuff. They had a Buddha in there. They had sort of frosted and glass design that felt a little bit mountainous, as if they were Japanese inspired. And then on the carpet, they had wavy patterns and almost simple Japan wave minimalistic sort of circle pattern on there. So theirs was a little bit easier to draw inspiration from. And sometimes...
Sounds like a spa.
Yes, that's it. Both of these places. But yes, the one that I just finished up felt very spa-like and very minimal, had a lot of earth tones.
And I feel so like it's very commonplace for dental practices now is kind of to have that, you know, all-inclusive, spa, comfortable, relaxing feel.
Oh, absolutely. You gotta get your patients to feel very comfortable, because there are so many people who have had either bad experiences with the dentist or even if they haven't had a really bad experience at a dental office, they can still have that sort of view of it being a sort of scary and intimidating place with how bright some of the lighting can be when you're in the exam chair and stuff like that. And so, like you were saying, this one, outside of being spa-like, they had sections where it felt like kids would be very, very welcome to. Down the hallway, they had stuffed animals and almost an arcade fake claw-looking game that was built into almost like a keepsake looking thing. They had nice refreshments, pillows that were you know, a little bit modern too. They're like hashtag brush. And so they had a very playful feel even to the decor and stuff within the office and the waiting area. So yes, that was a very good observation. Very, very spa-like. But yes, like you're saying, a lot of dental practices are trying to get that feel across so that people feel comfortable being in there, especially for particular types of procedures that they'll be doing at the places that a lot of our clientele are.
Yeah, that makes sense. Last bit of sort of housekeeping before we actually get into the topic, because I think we've been chatting for a little bit already, is we did open our swag shop the last week sometime, or maybe even it was the week before. Very limited stuff in there right now, but definitely going to build on that. And, you know, for people to go check it out. I sort of snuck it in a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know if you had any thoughts on the swag shop. I know you're going to be contributing some to that as well here soon.
You know, one of my favorite things about it is I believe that you had incorporated some print on demand with using Printful. Mm-hmm. And so they have a lot of options for different types of swag and decor and apparel. So that's very exciting.
Yeah. We'll most likely be adding some video content, blog content and stuff to talk a little bit more about what we have going on under the hood there with WooCommerce and Printful and stuff. I think I wrote a real short blog article just sort of talking about the swag shop and it being open and what we're using there. But I think some more content will certainly come out of that to show people sort of what we have going on there and how it works and how others can set that up. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. From there, we're going to move into the main topic, I think. You sort of already gave us a little bit of starting the client process and talking about the one that you were starting this morning. But today's actual main topic is just talking about the process, an agency process for just working on web design and development projects, kind of from, let's say, from start to launch. I hesitate to say from start to finish because, you know, a lot of the times these aren't ever finished, really. And that's a good thing. They're supposed to be ever evolving, ever changing, ever updating, making sure that they're, you know, following some of the latest design trends and keeping up to date and modern stuff. So I hesitate to say finished because I don't know that they're ever finished and that's intentional. But from sort of the beginning of the process to, you know, site launch and maybe a little bit after site launch, a couple of other things that happen there. TJ being actively part of a design agency right now, I'm going to mostly kind of ask you to take the lead here on this section, but I'll get you started. The first thing that you have on the list here on our notes or whatever is client onboarding. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about client onboarding at the beginning of the process?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. So for Progressive Dental Marketing, we will get client onboarding a couple of different ways because we will, in addition to the web services, as far as designing, creating, building, and launching the website, we also do marketing, social media, stuff like that. And so some of our clients are onboarded in the other portion of the services and products that we provide. And then, of course, some of those will directly correlate with stuff that goes on with the launch of the website as well, because we've got SEO that helps with doing the stuff for some of the marketing and the advertising and getting keywords and drawing people organically through some of the ads and campaigns within social media as well. And so they're split between the digital services. And so some of them will have, or we'll do the website after we gain some trust with them as far as simply getting the leads within the office. But ultimately, you know, we would like a lot of those leads also to be coming to the website too, so that they're getting very well informed about any particular product or service that they're looking to have done through a dental practice or a dentist in particular. And so it gets pretty easy to get them to jump on board with getting a new web redesign or having a website, as some people either don't have a website up, whether they're part of a practice and they're starting their own. And so we will either revamp, redesign, upgrade, or do fresh web projects. And so I'll speak on onboarding from the web end. And a lot of the stuff...
Just taking a quick tiny step back, where would you say that you get most of your leads or new clients from? Is it like word of mouth or conferences? Is it paid advertising? Is it website or social content? Maybe a mix of all of them.
So this is part of the interesting thing about what we provide for the dentists and their offices, is that we do have a lot of word of mouth going through because of our conferences. And so we have ongoing education for the clients who we already have with us.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, we will get other clients from going to our events and finding out more about what we do, and then hopping into the courses or more of the mentorship program for their treatment coordinators and the people who will organize some of the stuff that the office does and logistic things and getting patients to be able to be comfortable in getting some of these procedures or getting in there more often for other particular dental and oral needs. And so we have word of mouth through clients that we already have. We've been ramping up a lot of social media. So we have dentists coming on and checking us out on social media that are playing off of word of mouth from other dentists and practices and organizations of dentists. And then we also partner with providers who will either help with lab work or doing things like smile design. So either helping plan the smiles and the teeth and some of the functional things and the appliances that the dentists will be using. We partner with some of those providers so that the dentists can have other types of implants and have better and quicker services for people that they are trying to get in there, and prospective sort of patients and clientele, so that they can get some of these things more efficient as far as cost and time and getting more permanent solutions for clients. Because for them, a lot of the pain points that the dentist patients will have are they went to another dentist, and this can build into some of the fear or apprehension of going to a dentist, is that they may have dentures or implants that are failing.
Hmm.
And so we will help do education and partner with particular providers and labs so that the dentist can offer more and better services for them. And so we're also gaining their trust by working with other people and providers and partners that they know or already use or have heard of, who are also gaining traction in implants and dental health. And so we actually have various streams of ways that people can come find us, and we're able to be more visible because of some of the other services we provide outside of just doing ads on social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, sounds like one of your larger lead generation pieces is through training, through having that educational, I'm going to say onboarding, really, because it's not really onboarding yet, but sort of that lead generation through, you know, providing value through educating about all sorts of other related topics. And then once you've kind of established that expertise that you are, you know what you're doing, you're the ones to go with, that kind of provides that lead capture for, moving on to different projects together and all of that. That's really cool.
Oh yeah. And doubly, if we're doing that for ourselves, they can trust that we can help them do that as well.
Right.
Getting themselves out there, showing that they're experts, proving authority, and then also getting testimonials and word of mouth for their practice themselves, whether it be through getting reviews and testimonials on Yelp, Google, or having us give them a video package where we're having, you know, some of their most recent patients come back and do a little sort of before and after video and a testimonial. So that also helps them build trust in us so that we can also do the same for them.
Not just talking the talk, but pardon the cliche, walking the walk too. So proving that you know how to do it and that you can do it for them because you're doing it for yourselves. So let's say that's all working the way it's supposed to be going. You're getting lots of leads, you're closing. Let's get it back into the onboarding, some of the things that you do during the onboarding process.
All right. So there are particular parts of the process that are difficult for me to speak on and speak to. We have a very, very sort of old school agency feel to it, where we have several salespeople. At the agencies that I worked at before, we didn't have that as a department, but we've have sales and account managers that will help with the onboarding and getting prospective clients comfortable with the idea of working with us and trusting us to be able to partner with them to build their practice and presence by way of getting a website done with us. And so for that, we'll show them websites of their contemporaries, and then again, thankfully with the word of mouth stuff and even getting people into the conferences and the training, sometimes they will call us because they've heard somebody that they admire or a practitioner and doctor they look up to has recently gotten a new website and thinks it looks sleek and hears the success that they're having from our campaigns and advertising and PPC, that we do have a lot of people who will either come through on what we call the phase two, even though they can run concurrently, where they'll come through with the marketing and they'll sort of schedule that to be with the new web launch if they end up going with both for us. And so we'll usually get help with the onboarding and getting them comfortable with us because they'll see the results from that. And then some of them, we've been ramping up our own social media and showing them the results that we've been able to get for other clients. And so a lot of it is word of mouth or through social media, then coming to the website. And so they'll get to see the numbers there from our case studies. But the account managers and the sales reps will usually be able to get them comfortable enough just by sharing the numbers, sheer number of cases that a lot of the practitioners that are partnered with us have seen with the success. And so there will be people who have had maybe two or three implant cases that they will have been able to perform and sell and do. And, you know, coming to work with us, all of a sudden they're jumped up to anywhere from like 12 to 25. And so those types of increases that they get to see and the success that they get to see their peers have makes them much more comfortable. So they'll usually try out running a couple ads or having us do a couple landing pages for them. And then pretty quickly that will help them get comfortable with us redesigning their website, because they'll also go see the doctor's newer, flashy website. And so that definitely helps. And so we'll have a lot that go through, and we'll get onboarding by getting them on board with the process. And then we'll have launch calls once they get ready to sign on. We'll jump and we'll do a launch call with them and get to meet, you know, their team, and they'll get to meet some of the team, at least the managerial portion of the team that will be heading up the project. And so we'll have that call and they'll discuss, you know, some of their desires for aesthetic and what their desires are for expectations of the numbers of either patients they'd like to get or the number of cases they'd like to close. And we'll work from there and we'll work the strategy into that. And then we'll start getting content from them. And we'll also, we have them fill out questionnaires that also help us to gain knowledge for the design and for the direction of what types of services and products and treatments that they offer. Because especially for dentists, you know, not everyone does the same sorts of treatments. So some people will lean more towards ortho. Some people will lean more towards teeth whitening and implants. And some people will gear their practice towards other things, sleep apnea, sedation treatments, helping people feel more comfortable in that. And so we'll glean a lot of that information and direction and structure from the call with them and their team and get a clear view of what their vision is. And then this is where we veer from some of the other agencies that I've worked at, is because we have a couple options for themes that we've built. And so most stuff isn't very, very custom till the end.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, so you get this process started. I mean, it's Progressive Dental, right? It's a niche industry that you already know all about. And that's why people are coming to you. So
yes,
like all the things that you're rattling off about ortho and regular and cosmetic dentistry and all that stuff, like that's the stuff that people are coming to you for. So that's not really the stuff that you're having to learn as much about from your clients. So I like what you were talking about where the conversation was mostly focused around the goals for that particular business, because businesses are different sizes. And even though, you know, obviously, ultimately, every business in the world's goal is to make more money. But like breaking it down into what do you want to accomplish this year? What do you want to accomplish with this site build? And then sort of reverse engineering, we're working backward from that. Like we have, not we, me, you, your company that you work for, has the knowledge about how to build a dental practice of any kind. So it's a matter of figuring out what that particular practice is looking for and then being able to tailor your process to that to hit those goals. So I think that's really cool. And also just speaks to one of the benefits, this is a different podcast episode, but speaks to the benefits of really niching down into like knowing your clients that well, that you really don't have to have a whole lot of conversation about, well, tell me about what your business does, like starting that far down. You already know, like, maybe not the details, but if you know what kind of business it is, we know that you're, you know, focused on cosmetic dentistry or whatever. So we're going to go kind of this direction, but tell us where you want to go goals-wise with this year, and then we can kind of work from that. So I really like that you bring your, right from the beginning, you bring your expertise and your knowledge. I mean, again, that's what they came to you for. You've already run a couple of minor, you know, test projects together to get warmed up and whatnot. But you're bringing that expertise right from the beginning and saying, okay, we already know this much about your business because this is what we do. Tell us about, you know, these little details here and the goals and what you want to do. And let's talk about how we can get there. That's cool.
Yeah. And then from that point, we will give them their point of contacts for each department, say SEO, media, because some of them will want to and need to do television commercials. So we'll shoot ads with them. And we have a person who will stick to media buying and coordinating all these things for television campaigns for that particular area. And then we'll get them, you know, with social media, and then we'll get them with us, which is the production of their website and the launch of their website. And of course, we'll coordinate with the other departments to get some of the content massaged in the way that it ought to be. Because we have been working on better targeting for local, googly, while getting better local sort of organic within Google. And so we'll have content, work with SEO and start getting all that together and writing out the content that is more tailored to each practice and each doctor, depending on, again, what their expectations, their demographic, and then who they want to reach are. And then some of them, we actually help them open up practices in other areas. And so they'll get help on that end as well, doing other types of research and expansion stuff. And then for us, what we do is we get right into, after having conversations with them, we will pick one out of our five themes that is best for them, especially depending on the type of content. So we have two themes in particular that are very visual and video heavy that cater to, you know, helping people get educated through videos. And so we'll shoot videos with them where they're they'll talk about a patient's pain point, like right off the bat. Hey, we understand that you have apprehension, or you may be a little bit nervous about getting implants. Here are three reasons that implants fail. So they will give you right off the bat, help you confront some of your fears about getting particular things done, and they'll get you very educated on that sort of thing. And so we help them with getting education to their patients so that they can be as ready as they can to make a decision when the time comes to have implants, crowns, bridges, stuff like that. And so we help them a lot with their education. And we will, this is a little bit after site launch as well, but we help them with continuing to update the website via writing blogs. And so some of our SEO and content people will periodically get blogs out for them. And so we'll be doing anywhere from, you know, 5 to 12 blog articles for a practice within a month. And so that helps too, is to keep updating their site and getting their content and let Google know that they're actively bringing value to people who may be needing or using their services and their products. And so we'll go through that process. We'll start building the site. We'll pick a theme depending on their needs. And then again, like you were saying, because we've, as a company, spent decades refining the process and content and the look of what makes a dental practice website great and appealing to their audience, we're going through that and flipping out sections, segments, imagery, and content that is templated a couple different ways, but then also within the theme, we have different segments within the process that we can tailor those to have different types of, have the information displayed and presented in a couple different ways by having lots of options. And so we kind of get to modularly build the site and have it be both templated and custom because we've built so many different models and widgets and modularity into that, to where we can kind of just structure and puzzle and play. And so that's a sort of fun part, even though it can be, I'm reserved about using the term like assembly line, but again, sure, we're putting these things together so quickly, but we still have options to play and design within that, that we're not losing our set of skills for designing and developing, and we still get to bring our clients very different takes on design and do it in a very, very fast pace. Again, some of them will jump on with us for the marketing and the campaigns, and they want to kind of coordinate that together, and we can quickly get something for them within the span of 2 to 3 weeks, is where if we're building fully custom websites and having to do all the research for the industry, whatever they're trying to land in, and learning all these different things each time we're doing a website, you know, a lot of websites can take 2 to 3 months to do. So we're able to give them expectations and cut down their wait time for seeing results from the campaigns and from leads to the website, because we're able to get it out there, you know, 2 to 3 times faster than, than other agencies would if they weren't, as like you were saying, well-versed and just digging down into the niche and the expertise and the specificity of what we're bringing to this particular industry of dentistry. And even a little bit more specific, dental implants. So yes, that is, that's very helpful. So we're able to churn these out, but still keep the level of professionalism and variety within that, as fast as we're able to go through these timelines.
Yeah. So sort of recapping a little bit to where we are now, we've talked about client onboarding, communication with, you know, the client themselves, having a couple of maybe test projects to begin with to kind of get warmed up and how you know, the relationship is going to go. Then you have, I'm just sort of looking back at the notes here, the launch call for kind of your team internally, just to sort of talk through, you know, where you're going to go, some of the choices you're going to make there. And then it sounds like from there, it sort of branches off into a few different directions all at the same time to sort of make sure that everything is moving concurrently, moving forward. So you have, you know, a gathering of content from the client, talking to them about SEO and some of their media stuff, videos, any ads that you're going to do, some pay-per-click advertising and social media stuff, and leading us up to design development. So you've talked to us a little bit about, you know, having a few different themes or whatever to design these. We need to talk a little bit about, like, Once you've decided on the theme and stuff, how much flexibility do you have? What kind of tools are you using? Are you using Elementor or Gutenberg blocks, or are you writing custom code? Is there stuff already built into these themes to sort of handle some of that? Yeah, if there's anything you want to share about kind of the specific design part of it, I know that that's, you know, more where your, you know, where your day-to-day lies anyways, is sort of in that design and development flow. What are some of the things that you use to do that?
So we do a lot of Elementor building. And so what we have going on is within each theme, they're heavily based within Elementor. And we have a lot of Elementor templates that we have within each theme. Like once we do the install, we will have all of these building blocks in place. And there are some proprietary type of plugins that we use. We have more specialized developers who help make tools and customization within WordPress and Elementor very cohesive and very flexible. And so we can go through, and in particular, we have the sitemap and the permalinks all within an Excel spreadsheet. And we will get that from SEO and content, and we will import using a custom plugin that was developed by our developers. And we can easily import the XML sheet through Pro Add-ons, which is what they have developed and we use for that. We will get...
Does that generate all the pages and stuff for you?
Yes, it generates the pages, and we have a set of templates, and so we can pick as we're uploading the sitemap, we can go grab the tab of the permalinks that has the permalink and path URL. It's got the stuff that will go right into, say, whatever you're using for the meta titles, descriptions, and stuff like that. So within that spreadsheet for the permalink section, we've got the URL, the page name, the page title, the meta description, all there. And that will grab that. We map it out through some of our selection and our choices.
Yeah, so that's all being generated and imported together at the same time to create all your pages.
Yes. And so we'll map out the metadata to a particular one of our templates within Elementor. And then it will generate from that, grab the correct template, and put all that together. And then within that, we can go and move those things around and switch out some of the widgets with other widgets from our ready-made templates and sections.
So the pages are actually also being generated with Elementor content that can then be customized once you really get into fine-tuning each of the pages and sections.
Yes. And then on top of that, to make that a little bit quicker for us with it, and I know that you've done this with some personal projects, freelance projects, and a little bit with Skyverge, I believe, we're able to, within Customizer, we have options and settings in Customizer for the appearance of the theme. Mm-hmm. We will pick colors, backgrounds, images, graphics, and play with typography there, a lot of it right there. And that will speak to Elementor and fill that into the pages as well. And so we'll get...
Oh, cool.
So it will also generate some of that stuff within, you know, if you are in the theme builder within Elementor, that stuff takes on the appearance and the settings and the colors that we are picking in Customizer so that our designers can go through and, again, build out those sections here in Customizer. Say we want a stripe that's got a dark background and then it has a semi-transparent pattern, and then we have three cards. And then, of course, within Elementor, we can change if it's three cards, sure, four cards, six cards, or if it's a listing of posts, then it will, you know, generate that as well. But we can pick some of those modular things that kind of span out over the course of the site on particular pages, and then we can play with that inside of Elementor. If we want to tweak some a little bit or switch a column to the right side, we can do that there, but it will keep these settings. And then if we want to change that to a lighter background, we can switch that within Elementor. But first, it's pulling those attributes. Okay.
It's got a default, but then you can override that with Elementor's individual settings.
Yeah. And so that helps build those pages fairly quickly. And then, of course, we have some pages that are a little bit more information and text heavy that will not need as much imagery. But again, it's easy to, if we do end up needing imagery or little sections to kind of break up the information and make the page more readable, we can go ahead and do that there. Just add a section here and grab that from the template and then play with that too to make sure it's matching up with the rest of the site. And so, I mean, people can get done anywhere from 8 to 12 pages, like built out a day, because of how we have built the process to be so modular and customizable.
I love that there's a lot of flexibility to it, but that you get kind of a foundation quickly, knowing what the agency has learned over years of doing this for dental practices. Like, this is what you need. And of course, every business is going to be a little bit different. So we can come back in and kind of change some things around as necessary, but you've got that foundation already. I've got like probably 20 more questions about that design process, but I'll leave those for a different episode and maybe charge you to, you know, to show off a little bit, show some of that in maybe a video tutorial or something on our YouTube channel one of these days. So I'll leave it for that. It looks like the thing that you have after design and development naturally is site launch. So I don't know if you want to tell us just a little bit about site launch before we wrap this main section up and, you know, launch and or a little bit of what happens immediately after launch.
Yeah, sure thing. As you know, from working agency life, we will get our clients anywhere from like 1 to 6 users, depending on how comfortable some of the doctors or people within their office are. We'll get them users and roles, and we'll do some client education. We've actually shot video tutorials that help them kind of get familiarized with using text editor and simple content changes within Elementor. Not enough to break it.
Another one of the benefits of having a foundational process, though, is that because most of them are going to be, you know, 80% similar with 20% customization or whatever, having that training there is going to pretty much work across the board. So I love that you guys have that in place already, and that makes it so much easier to share that with clients. How do you share that with clients? Is there a separate website that you send them to, or is it built into their WordPress install, or how do you share that educational content with them afterwards?
I believe that we don't have a lot of them that like to do a lot of the editing themselves. We have a ticket system that we use, and a lot of them will do that, which is also nice because it helps with client retention as well.
Sure.
And then of course they're running a practice, and the other people at the office are also dealing with the patients and organizing and scheduling things. And so they'll usually just hit us with a ticket or an email, and then one of the account managers will get that into the ticket system for us. But as far as I know, for literally a handful out of 100 plus clients, that I believe it's Lessonly. We'll get them like a link to a Lessonly plan that's got some of these videos up for them. And so that's how we'll usually get that to them. So we haven't had to make a lot of that built into the process because it's very few and far in between want to have that sort of, I'm reluctant to say power, but the responsibility of not breaking the website.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll at some point do an episode just on maintenance plans and retainers and stuff. But I would venture to guess that the vast majority of client sites use the agency that built the site, or you know, a freelancer, somebody that they know that's good with the web to handle ongoing changes. Because like you said, you know, they don't have time. That's not their day job. So rather than break something and have to figure out what went wrong, or even worrying about having to log in and make some updates or even where to start, I would guess that most companies, most businesses that have their website built for them are using some sort of maintenance plan to keep it updated ongoing.
Oh yeah. So once we get the site very close to launch, we will send them the link to it. They'll get to see it. This is a little bit different from other agencies that I've been at. They don't have their eyes on it much till the last leg, which sometimes can be tumultuous, but most of the time, again, we've gained that trust with them from some of the other projects and services they've had with us, that these changes are tweaks. Some of them can be spelling changes, or a doctor or someone may be leaving the practice during the course of organizing the launch. And so we'll have little change like that there. Sometimes they won't like a color. But again, because of, like you said, the flexibility that we've built into the system of building the websites, we can, for the most part, change a couple of those colors there. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the changes are very minute. So even if it's like a sort of longer laundry list, it's pretty quick to get done, and then we'll move on to the launch. And so when we get ready to launch, we will have clients that will get their hosting from us. And so those are pretty quick to just get live once we get domain information from them. There are some that we have clients that are hosting, and we'll get either log, most of the time we get login information from them, and then we can go in there and, you know, point them over way.
Kind of handle the DNS when it's time to make it live.
Yes. And then sometimes they'll have emails that they'd like us to set up. They'll have hosting, and then they'll sometimes have emails with us. So we'll set up emails. We'll go through, and SEO will take care a lot of the Google Analytics side. We'll just have to go ahead and match up some of that stuff to the website. We'll go in there and we'll connect the forms. Mm-hmm. And so for a long time, we've been using Contact Form 7, and there are a couple of our sites that even go back 2 or 3 months that are using Contact Form 7. So we'll have to make the connections between the form submissions and other data like phone links and stuff, and get that into Google Analytics and have that play and talk to Google Tag Manager as well, and set up goals tags that are going between the two and have that talking to our stuff with Contact Form 7. Lately, we've been straight up using Elementor forms.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we'll go through and make sure that the emails are going to the right people and that the tags and goals are hooked up so that we can, you know, continuously check the results and get a good idea of the number of leads and contacts that they're getting from the website. We will also get some protection on the forms. Almost 100% of the time, we are using reCAPTCHA, and we'll also throw in there some honeypot stuff as well that we'll grab some of those. And of course, we can't stop, you know, spam type content that's being put in by a user, but we were able to get a lot of bots and stuff that are crawling.
Right.
And so we'll get a lot of the security stuff, a lot of the metrics there just as we're getting ready to launch. And then of course, sometimes like right as we get it live, we'll double check some of those things, make sure the connections are there. And then we will hand the reins over to them, so to speak. We'll let them know that it's all good to check out live. And then, you know, if anything is broken, they can get to us pretty quickly. And as you know, we try to never launch on a Friday. sometimes it ends up being necessary. We just try not to launch at 5 o'clock on a Friday going into the weekend where stuff can happen.
Guaranteed that something's going to break if you launch on a 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Yes. Yes, we try to implore our clients not to tempt fate.
Yeah.
So good call. and then from there, if there are any changes that they need, it'll go right to the ticket system and through the AMs, who will do most of the communication with the clients. And it's a blessing and a curse. Sometimes I miss being in particular meetings or talking with clients and getting familiarity with them, as we did at the other agencies that I've been at and that you've been at. But again, because of the speed in which we need things to happen, it is nice that they're dealing with all that and getting the information to us within the ticket system. And then if there's any miscommunications, we get with them and they work their AM magic, hop on phones, make sure that the clients are pretty good. And so after that, we will, you know, evaluate the client relationship every now and again. Sometimes that's brought on by the client if the leads aren't what they're expecting. Sometimes the leads can be too much. We've experienced this too before, where they kind of, not on the web end, but for marketing and stuff, they'll drop the budget a little bit or discontinue because they're not able to handle all the leads that are coming.
Rein it in a bit.
So that's definitely a good problem to have.
Sure.
On both our end and on the hand of the client. So we'll go through, and the AMs too, like even if it's been a little while since we've had any type of communication and ticket and editing and additions to the site with them, we try to make sure that we don't make them feel like they're being forgotten about or things aren't up to par, that things aren't happening with the website or with analytics and leads. And so monthly, we'll get the SEO guys will go through Google Analytics and get that stuff to the AMs, who will then communicate, you know, what's been going on with the project on the web end and with social media and getting leads and analytics from their end for Facebook and stuff like that. And then analytics from PPC and from the campaigns that we're running through there. And so we like to try to be in close communication because that's very important so that they don't start to feel that they're not being cared for. And so that's very nice that the AMs are on top of that, because we have hundreds of clients and the AMs are making sure that everyone's taken care of and making sure client relations between us and the client are good. And then sometimes that will equate to modifications to services or upgrades and upsell, stuff like that. And then we just do that again and do that again, rinse and repeat.
Yeah. I, I love that you closed out both the launch and sort of the post-launch talking about, you know, reviewing their goals, making sure that metrics are set up, ways to gather those, you know, gather that data, gather the metrics to sort of be able to evaluate full circle where you started with a client, right? The onboarding process, one of the earliest things that you talked about was getting together with the client and making sure that you have a firm understanding of what their goals are for the site, for the year, and all of that. And being able to come back to that at the launch and even post-launch and sort of gather the information that you need to see that you are or aren't or are going above and beyond those goals that you had established at the very beginning is just really like a great cycle all the way around. So that was really cool to see you go from start to finish and how it sort of continues to wrap around on an ongoing process. As we go ahead and sort of get to the end here, we're going to just jump into the third section real quick. And that's just sort of what's going on with us with Heading 2 in the coming week. So for me, I have next Wednesday, I'll be on a panel for a GoDaddy Pro event talking about business strategies for 2022. I'd love for anybody that's listening to join us. It would be this coming Wednesday from when this airs, January 19th. So come join me for that. Also going to be co-hosting a Do the Woo podcast episode next week. I'm not exactly sure when that comes out, but I'll be recording that next week. I think we're also going to add some more items to the swag shop and do some more blog article writing and stuff on the site. So that's kind of what my week looks like next week, this coming week, when this airs on Monday. DJ, what's the rest of your this week and next week look like before, you know, up until we get to recording together again? What do you got going on?
So I got more sites to build. We have at the end of the month at Progressive Dental, we have one of our big conferences and training events out in Las Vegas that thankfully somehow has not been canceled due to rampant COVID. So we are looking to get a bunch more websites. So the first quarter of 2022,
sounds like a lot of work looking
very busy, but we have a new team member starting next week. So I'll be stepping away from building websites, for a few hours throughout the week to do some training, but that will help us get more on track with changes and with websites. And so everyone in the office has been pulling overtime hours this week, which thankfully, I mean, we have jobs and we get to do stuff that we love. So that is plus is all around. And then, I'd like to get my hands designing on some swag for us over here at Heading 2 and building up our presence as far as the website is concerned.
Yep.
Maybe doing a tutorial or two in the next week.
Yeah. So that'd be awesome. I think I'm gonna set that same goal for myself too. To write a bit more, add something to the swag shop, and I think I'm gonna set a challenge and or goal to myself to record a tutorial of some kind for our YouTube channel too. So for those of you listening, we've got YouTube and podcasts and blogging and some social media stuff. We're going to start ramping that up this year. With that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up for this one. If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a favorable rating in your favorite podcast app or website. It makes a difference and helps others discover the show. To be notified when future episodes come out, just go ahead and subscribe as well. Find out more about us and what we're up to, check out our website, like we said, heading2.com. We're going to start adding some more stuff there. And also, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at heading2. We're going to post some of the stuff that we're doing on social media, so it'll be easier to follow us there and see what we're doing. If you have any questions that you'd like answered on the show, go ahead and send those to hello@heading2.com. And that's it for this week. Thank you again for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode. See you later, everyone.
Till next time.